Blog Talk Radio.
Considering the opponent, Indiana was just terrific, scoring over 1.6 points per possession. It was just absurd in the first half. But unfortunately, there in the second half, what has plagued Indiana in recent games, which is sloppy play at the beginning of second half's turnovers, that plagued the Hoosiers again today. And Minnesota actually outscored Indiana by 16 points, putting up 52 points themselves in the second half. But eventually, Indiana was able to hold on. A huge play by Cody Zeller, after a couple of missed free throws by Jordan Hull, has got the possession back for Indiana. Jordy was able to knock down a couple of free throws to ice it. And ultimately, after the huge swing in the first half, the huge swing in the second half, today's game ended up pretty much as the odds makers and Ken Pomeroy predicted, with Indiana winning by 7, 88-81. It was certainly a fun game, a huge, you know, really Indiana's first, you know, big matchup against a top 10 team. So there's a lot to, you know, a lot to talk about today. I think we learned a lot about this Indiana team. We're going to break it all down on the assembly call. We'll be joined here in a few moments by Andy Bottoms, by Ryan Phillips. Zach, I'm sure, will call in. He was at Assembly Hall today. For me, to kick things off today, you know, the banner moment today for me is just really Indiana's performance in the first half. Because I thought, you know, we saw in that first half how good this team can be when they're at their peak. Now, obviously, the second 20 minutes, we're going to break that down today and talk about why Indiana, you know, what led to kind of some of the struggles in the second half. But let's not forget how good Indiana looked in the first half. And I know it was at home, and this team has played better in Assembly Hall, but the offensive efficiency, the defensive intensity, it was phenomenal to see, and that shows you what this team is capable of. And so I think, you know, in a lot of ways, this is maybe a good game for Indiana to have early in the Big Ten season, because I think they can draw confidence from how well they played together in that first half. But also there's a lot to learn from the second half. And obviously you'd like to see the team play a little bit better there and be able to close out a team like Minnesota. But, hey, Minnesota's good, and their kids kept fighting. And so it's good that Indiana was still able to come away with the victory. But, you know, for me, seeing what this team can look like at its peak with all five players that started, I mean, they just played at maximum efficiency. And I think, you know, we've been waiting to see that, and to do that against a team as good as Minnesota, as accomplished as Minnesota, was really great to see. And now what we need to see from this Indiana team is for them to put together more stretches like they did in the first half and a lot fewer stretches like they did in the second half. And we'll talk about how they can do that here on this episode of the Assembly Call. We, of course, want your call, 646-716-6360. So call us up if you have thoughts about today's game or just the team in general. But before we get to that, let's go over to Andy and Ryan and get their thoughts on today's game. And we will start with Andy, who will give us his bottoms line on today's IU victory.
Well, I definitely think there were a lot of guys that stepped up and played well. I mean, the one that really stood out to me was Yogi, particularly in the first half. I mean, he ended the game 13 points, 8 assists, 2 turnovers. that came, you know, later in the second half. But I just thought he really played under control, did a solid job defensively, and really made good decisions. You know, pushed the ball when he needed to, pulled it back out when that made more sense. And I just thought that he really controlled the game and the tempo in the first half and really set the tone for that. I mean, obviously, a lot of those open shots were off of, you know, passes from him either in transition or him getting into the lane or under the basket and finding people. And I just thought he was outstanding for, you know, again, you know, the first big 10 game of his career, and a guy who's really kind of come out pretty amped up at times and, you know, a little overly excited in some of the big games, and definitely felt like he came out and was really under control from the start today. So I think he was the guy that stood out to me, although obviously everybody in the starting lineup had at least 13 points. So hard to pinpoint one guy. I know we went back and forth during the game and we're singing the praises of a number of guys, and I'm sure we'll get to, but he was the one that stood out for me.
Yep, I agree with you. I thought Yogi was absolutely fantastic today. We definitely will talk more about him. Before we do that, let's go over to Ryan. Now, Ryan, we haven't talked about this yet, so I don't know what your rant is today. But I just want to throw this out there as a statistic that of all the Indiana Hoosiers who played today, the only one who didn't score was Will Sheehy.
I'll give him a break this week. My rant's he's kind of in my crosshairs, but it's just the bench in general. You know, we had three total bench points, and that means that we had 85 points from our starting lineup, which is ridiculous. We got 3 points, and they were all off of free throws from our bench, and that's got to get better. I mean, we've talked about how I think we're deep. I think we're, you know, a solid team through and through, and I thought that, you know, guys like Remy and I thought Hunter Perea got some solid minutes. He didn't really see the ball much on offense, but in fact, I think he might have touched it once or twice. But I thought Remy played well defensively. I thought that Jeremy Hollowell even came in and looked, you know, acquitted himself well, didn't turn the ball over as we're used to seeing. I think, as usual, Will Sheehy was his up-and-down self. I thought he played well on defense. I thought offensively he wasn't looking to attack. And those are things that need to change. I mean, the bench needs to be able to come in and spell the starters and continue what they're doing. And we talked about, you know, the first half was just, I mean, incredible. And that's as good as Jarrett said, as good as anyone's looked all year. Second half, really, usually what they've done is come out after the half and been real slow. I thought it was okay this time. I thought where they lost, it was down the stretch. They started letting themselves get bothered by the pressure, by Minnesota's pressure, and by, you know, on inbounds plays and things like that. They couldn't get the ball in. And, you know, that kind of flustered them, and that's where they started losing ground. So, the bottom line is, though, they won the game. We're 3-0 in the Big Ten. Beat a top 10 team on our home floor. You know, that's the stuff that matters. And it's good that this didn't just turn into a walkover. So now they have some stuff to correct, you know, in practice this week. And hopefully they can get it straightened out and figure out, you know, what the next step is.
Now, I agree with you. And I think, you know, we've talked about the bench a lot, especially in recent shows, and I'm not going to say yet, you know, I've kind of been the one sounding the alarm more than anybody. I'm not going to say yet that I'm concerned, but I'm a little concerned. I mean, you know, I think, you know, we've talked about the depth of this team, and to only get 3 points, you know, Andy and I were chatting during the game, you know, Remy looked really uncomfortable, and it's such a contrast from how he looked early in the season and how he looked at the end of last year. You know, we remember, you know, his big performances in games like the Purdue game. And, you know, especially to see a guy like Will struggle like he did today, you know, look, the starters were fantastic. I mean, you got 20, 19, 18, 15, 13 in terms of scoring from your five starters, and that's terrific. But I agree, you know, the bench has to get going. Elston didn't see the floor today. I think it'd be nice to see him get in there in a game like this, you know, since he has some experience. But, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But let's talk about the guys today that really contributed to the victory. You know, I know it was kind of a disappointing second half, and it's always a little bit of a letdown, you know, when you have that big lead and you have to kind of hold on at the end. But let's remember that we just beat a top 10 team by 7 points. You know, so there's a lot to be pleased with, you know, with what Indiana did today, because this Minnesota team is a good team. And for me, I thought Cody played really well today, and I want to get both your guys' thoughts on this. You know, because I know it's been a little bit of an up-and-down season for him. Maybe he's fallen a little bit short of expectations. You know, today he had 18 points. He was an efficient 6 of 8 from the field. You know, he only had the 6 rebounds, but, you know, he had some really big rebounds, especially that last one. And, you know, he had 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, and those were huge momentum-swinging plays. You know, and I know, you know, he had one turnover that he immediately reversed by racing down the court and getting a block. You know, so I thought Cody really was active. He was aggressive. He had one of the more impressive individual plays I've seen from anybody this season when he took the ball at the top of the key and drove around Rodney Williams, a guy who has NBA-level athleticism, right to the hole for a dunk. I mean, to see a seven-footer do that was impressive. And so I thought, you know, and Cody had a nice turnaround jumper early. I thought he showed all the parts of his game that make him a special player today. And I thought he played even bigger than his numbers suggest. You know, and kind of the microcosm of that was that rebound, or not even the rebound, but, you know, his ability to kind of tip the ball over to Jordan Hulls on that final play, which was, you know, which ended up being a wing play for Indiana. So I want to get both of you guys' thoughts on Cody. Sometimes we kind of glaze over him on this show or a little bit critical. And to me, I think today is a game where Cody really deserves a lot of plaudits because I thought he played terrific. Andy, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to you, Ryan.
Yeah, I think it was another one of those. I think, you know, one of the games not too long ago, he had a huge game, and we all kind of were like, you didn't really see where it came from, or it just wasn't kind of smack you in the face obvious that he played well. And today was a little bit the opposite. I mean, obviously he had 18 points, 6 rebounds. And, you know, I thought his blocks all came at really critical times. I mean, one was he made a, you know, poor decision making a pass, where he ran down the floor and blocked it. He had another one on Mbakwe. I thought those all came at pretty key times. And I just, yeah, I mean, you know, making hustle plays and doing the things that he's been, you know, applauded for doing over the, you know, course of his year and a half at IU. I thought it was one of his better games. I think he, you know, showed some decent toughness, which is, again, one of the knocks on him against, you know, more physical teams and things like that. And Minnesota certainly fits that bill. So I didn't feel like he really backed away from any of the contact with some of the big guys that they had. I think that's obviously going to be pretty important for him going forward. And he, I mean, did a decent job really making his free throws compared to, you know, the team itself didn't shoot him great in the second half, but he ended up 6 for 8 from the day. So I think that's a positive sign. That's more in line with the way he shot him over the course of last season. So I think that's another positive to take away from his performance.
Ryan, what did you see out of Cody today?
Yeah, I really agree with Andy. I think that actually I was more impressed with his defense than anything. I thought offensively, I mean, he was solid, but it wasn't, you know, one of his better games offensively. But I thought defensively he was moving a lot. He was bumping guys off of cuts and, you know, getting physical on that end. I'd like to see him get more physical on the offensive end. But I thought he was really, really recovering well, just had great awareness of, you know, if a guy got beat, he was there to protect the goal. And that's, you know, incredibly important. When you're a 7-footer, that's what you do. On offense, what I've seen the last couple games is I think he's almost being too unselfish when he gets the ball sometimes, where he'll have a one-on-one with a guy and he'll look to, you know, take two dribbles, and instead of just try and go up or go past the guy, he'll look to give it up, you know, to somebody else who's maybe cutting or something like that. And he needs to be a little more selfish and just trust his offense and his ability going towards the hoop. But I thought defensively he was fantastic and really was, in the end, I think he ended up being the difference in the game on that end of the court.
Yep, I agree with you. Now, the other guy who I thought was the difference in the game, and he's the difference in so many big IU victories, is Victor Oladipo. And so, you know, we've got to talk about him because, you know, this is a guy who now is starting to get finally – you know, kind of some pub and some, you know, some recognition from more than just Indiana people as a potential player of the year candidate. And obviously he was, you know, overshadowed earlier, you know, before the season started by Cody. And I think, you know, he's improved so much. No one really could have expected this. But, I mean, Victor was 8-for-10 from the field. He had 6 boards. He had 3 steals, 2 assists. I mean, he was just his winning self today. Now, you can counter that a little bit with the 3 fouls against the 3-point shooters. The last one of which was probably the most egregious, where Hollins just got him off his feet, and it was just really a silly foul. You know, but I think we're willing to give Victor a little bit of a pass because he makes so many plays in big games. And just like he did today, where he got that rebound put back late when Indiana needed a bucket to stem the tide, he was there, and he makes winning plays at winning time. And he's another guy that, you know, I think what's going to hurt him in any type of, you know, All-American, you know, player of the year type talk is he's not going to put up the gaudy numbers. You know, he's not going to score 20 points a game because the team has so much balance. And, you know, he's not going to be getting 10, 11 rebounds every game. So his numbers aren't always going to jump out, but he's a player who consistently contributes more than the sum of his numbers. And there's actually a lot of guys at Indiana who do that, and that's what makes this such a good team. But I want to get you guys' thoughts on his play, too, because he's just – Victor has become such a good all-around player. I mean, that three-pointer that he stroked in the first half, where he just took it off the pass, he was about a step behind the three-point line at the top of the key. That's that added dimension he has this year. He's shooting it so confidently and with such good mechanics. He's just become a spectacular all-around player. And I thought for the most part he did that today, you know, take out those, you know, kind of those silly fouls and that one bad defensive decision he had, Andy, that you mentioned on Twitter, where he left Hollins to double down and Hollins made the three. But I still thought Victor overall was great and obviously a huge contributor to this win. Andy, give me your thoughts on Victor.
Yeah, I mean, I think particularly in the first half, I thought he did a really good job of, you know, getting to the basket. And I think the thing that we see from him is you don't necessarily have to run plays for him to let him be able to score. I mean, he gets – I don't know how many points he ended up with off the putbacks, but I can think of at least, you know, 6-8 points maybe out of what he scored that, you know, came on plays like that. And he ends up with 20 points and, you know, hit three free throws. He, you know, they don't run stuff for him a great deal. I mean, there are times when the shot clock might be running down where he's going to end up with a ball in his hands because he's, you know, so good at getting to the basket. But I think he's, you know, he's a guy who it never really has, but doesn't go force the action. I mean, he took 10 shots. Again, I don't think any of them were outside of the flow of anything that was going on offensively or in the game. And there are, you know, other guys that at times you wouldn't say the same thing about. So I think that's the one thing about him that obviously is really big and continuing to come up with those key offensive rebounds. He had, you know, 4 of his 6 rebounds on the offensive end today against a team that came in not all that great on the defensive glass, but still – you know, big performances on the glass like we saw with him against Iowa. And, you know, I think the hard part for him defensively is that he's counted on so much to lock guys down and he makes spectacular plays on defense and he has the athleticism to go at anybody that I think at times that I've never been in the situation not being athletic in any regard. But, you know, I think at times it's almost like you feel like you can do anything, this invincibility of doing some of that. And I just thought some of the threes, particularly – you know, I'll give you the one early in the game. It's relatively close. You're just trying to make a play. But late in the game, when the only thing that really hurts you is, you know, putting people on the line with the clock stopped and things like that, you just have to be smarter to challenge shots and not go flying at people. And Hollins, to his credit, was, you know, before almost every three he took, throwing a shot pick in there to see who he could get off their feet. And I think that's, you know, again, an area where it's hard to chastise one of your better defensive players because he's trying to do what you're asking him to do and shut down the other team's best player. I just think that based on the situation of the game, he just has to be a little bit smarter there. But again, hard to knock a guy too much that had, you know, 20 points and 6 rebounds and 3 steals on the game. And he also did a really nice job of not turning the ball over, which he struggled with a little bit against Penn State. So he had 2 turnovers. Obviously, as a team, there were some issues there, but I thought he did a better job there. So all around a good performance, certainly things for him to work on. And he's a guy who works hard enough that you feel like you're not going to see a whole lot of that going forward from him.
Yeah, and Ryan, what did you see out of Victor today? I mean, you know, what players on top teams, I mean, obviously, you know, Trey Burke of Michigan and Plumlee at Duke, but, you know, I mean, what guys are playing better all-around games than Victor Oladipo right now in America?
I don't think there are many. I thought, yeah, those fouls on three-pointers, I mean, that's the kind of thing that drives me nuts as a basketball purist. Just, you know, I'd rather have the guy shooting the three than even, I mean, I'd rather have him shoot an uncontested three than foul him while he's shooting three, because not only do you get a foul, but now he's getting 3 free throws. And, you know, Oladipo did foul out in the game. So that was, I mean, that wasn't great. But, again, he's just that guy that you can always count on to be consistent at least on one end of the floor. I mean, he's going to give you that incredible defensive performance. And I actually, somebody was asking me for an NBA comparison for him, and I actually think he's a lot like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist from Kentucky last year. I think he's one of those guys who he can do a little bit of everything. He's the kind of like little things guy you want on the team. He plays phenomenal defense, has plus-plus athleticism, and his offensive game is kind of evolving, and he's kind of a chameleon. He can do, you know, he can kind of, every game, he's a little bit different in what he can do. He can stand out there and hit a three now. He's really worked on that. Or he can drive, or we've even seen him, you know, just work the offensive glass and get points that way, despite his size. And so really, I think that's the guy I would compare him to. He's just the kind of guy that does everything. And you can argue that, yeah, Anthony Davis was phenomenal for Kentucky last year, but, you know, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was the guy who held that team together and took it to that next level, as, you know, aside from being just a, you know, only Anthony Davis, you know, an Anthony Davis-focused team. So I think he's that important. I think that right now, if I had to pick a National Player of the Year, he would be firmly in the discussion. I don't know, you know, Trey Burke's having a great year, so is Plumlee at Duke. But really, he's definitely the MVP of this IU team. I don't think there's any question about that.
I agree with you, and I think you talk to anybody who's watched this team play, and they'll say that. You know, I think you talk to people who maybe have more of a peripheral view of Indiana, and they'll still say Zeller just because that's the name that they know. But, you know, Victor's one of those guys that to appreciate him, you really have to watch the team on a night-in, night-out basis. And I think, you know, it helps to have the context of watching every game this team has played for the last 4 years to truly appreciate what we're seeing out of Victor and to appreciate his growth and how much he has come from his freshman year to what he is now. It's been spectacular. Now, the one other individual performance I think we have to touch on is Christian Wofford. You know, because Andy, you touched on him in your preview, you know, before the game, and you talk a lot about how, you know, Christian, when he comes out aggressive, when he comes out looking to score and is playing well on the glass, he's a difference maker that takes Indiana from being a good team to a potentially great team. And about today, he wasn't especially efficient from the field. He was only 4 of 11, but he was huge early, made a couple big threes, the key to big run. He had 9 boards, and I thought really held his own, you know, against a very athletic front that Minnesota brings. You know, 15 points, 9 boards. It was a solid overall performance from Christian. And I think, again, you know, kind of proves your point, Andy, that he's kind of the difference. Because if Christian comes out and maybe it's his lackadaisical self, you know, in a game where we really needed all 5 starters to be at the top of their games, maybe Indiana doesn't win this game. You know, but Christian came out, played very well, and ended up being one of the big difference makers for IU.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I know Nick wanted to talk about his inbounding. We can maybe touch on that later. I don't want to spoil the good things that we're going to say about him here, but we certainly need to talk about it. But, you know, I think I said my kind of last line about him was if he can score 12 to 15 points and grab 8 rebounds, I like the Hoosiers' chances. I mean, yeah, he took 11 shots, and to your point, you know, he went 4 of 11, although I think he was 1 of 3 on that very first possession. But it showed that he was going to be aggressive. And I really think, again, out of those 11 shots, and he's a guy who I've certainly chastised on here for some of his shot selection or going out and hunting shots or, you know, whatever you want to call it. I didn't feel like he did that at all today. And in fact, a couple times in the second half, I wished he had shot instead of, passed up threes that I was surprised he didn't take. But I really was. And well, obviously he played well offensively. I was just as impressed with his defense. IU put him on Mbakwe quite a bit. I think potentially trying to keep Zeller fresh and out of foul trouble. And those two were really going at it in the first half. And he didn't back down even a little bit against the guy he's given up some weight to. And probably about 10 years, if my math is right on how old Mbakwe is at this point. So he's got that true, like, old man game in the post because he is an old man. But I thought Wofford really did well on that end. He's done a nice job of, like, switching. They did a lot of that late in the game where they pretty much switched everything. I thought he did a good job on his, you know, rotations defensively. And I thought that was, as much as anything, obviously the rebounding's key. But when they get him that engaged defensively, I mean, he's truly the difference maker for this team. He's really kind of the wild card. I think with most of the other guys, you're getting a pretty good idea of what you're going to get night in and night out. And if what IU's gotten from him these past 6 games now, since the Butler game, then I think that's going to be huge for them in the Big Ten season.
You know, Andy, there were a few statistical oddities I thought today. You know, we talked on the last show and then in your preview, we talked about how important rebounding was. Indiana actually out-rebounded Minnesota 30-27, and both the offensive and defensive rebounding percentages, the advantage went to Indiana. So I thought that was obviously a big plus. Oddly, Minnesota actually had 13 more field goal attempts over the course of the game than Indiana, and it was a huge disparity, 19 in the second half. Minnesota shot the ball 66 times, Indiana just 53 times from the field. But Minnesota committed 10 more personal fouls. Indiana actually shot 25 more free throws in the go-through. So, you know, there were a few kind of statistical oddities there. Did anything kind of jump out at you when you look at this game, maybe more than other stats, to kind of tell the story of why Indiana was able to end up pulling this one out?
Well, I thought the second half was, I mean, just odd in general. I mean, again, you saw that, you know, 19 field goal disparity, and then, but IU shot 36 free throws in the second half. So, you know, I think that was a case where, you know, they make their normal percentage of free throws, and it's a double-digit victory, and we're not all sweating it out during the end of the game. So, although that was an area where, you know, even when they came out and were pretty sloppy with the ball to start the half, they stayed aggressive after that. They settled themselves down. And still did a nice job there. And I think that's something that, you know, again, that I think I tried to call out in the preview was, you know, free throw shooting and things like that. that IU's typically done, you know, a good job of getting to the line and those kinds of things. And so, you know, that was the one thing that I think helped even things out. So even when they weren't playing as well in the second half, you know, that was an area where they really excelled. And the other one, really, if you look at what Minnesota normally does on the season, I mean, shooting 27 threes out of their 66 shots, and part of that obviously was necessitated a bit by, you know, the margin of the game. They're not a team that shoots a lot of threes. They don't have a lot of guys that shoot a high percentage from there. So that was a little bit of an anomaly that, you know, kind of helped get them back in the game. And, you know, to their credit, they took and they shots even from guys that you might not have expected to make them. You know, Hollins took 12 of those, hit five, but he, you know, percentage-wise had been their, you know, their best guy on the season. So I think that was one thing that, you know, was dictated a little bit by the margin of the game, and you got to give IU a little bit of credit in that perspective there. And then the last thing real quick is just kind of the turnovers. Obviously, you know, a lot of talk about how much IU turned the ball over at the beginning of the second half and again at the end. You know, had a really good start to the game with four turnovers in the first half and ended up with 15 for the game. I think only one assist in the second half, ended up with more turnovers than assists, which I don't think any of us would have seen coming following the first half. So, again, I think still, you know, things to work on and concerns, and a little bit of that was, you know, dictated by the margin of the game and the way that Minnesota had to play maybe a bit differently than they were used to. But at least those are a few things that jump out to me.
Well, that's a good segue, because I want to talk a little bit about coaching. And, Ryan, I want to pull you in on this. It, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, we place, I think, a high emphasis in terms of coaching on how a team comes out the first 5 minutes of a game and how they come out in the first 5 minutes of the second half and how they close a game. And so, you know, for a while it felt like Indiana was kind of starting out slow, and I feel like we've kind of reversed that, and we've started out pretty well in recent games. But second halves, especially early, you know, the Penn State game, we just came out, turned the ball over like crazy. Same thing here. You know, Ryan, I want to get kind of your thoughts on that. I mean, you know, maybe why that's happening, but also, you know, there's an interesting tweet I thought that Chronic Hoosier sent out, which was, our ceiling is our coach. And he followed that up with saying, that's not a knock. We have the tools, but we also have flaws. If Crane can iron them out, this team can hang banners. You know, as we kind of, you know, step back and take a macro look at this team, Ryan, you know, how would you assess kind of what, you know, how this team has looked through the first three Big Ten games, and maybe what your assessment is of the job that Tom Crane is doing, and maybe a tweak here or a tweak there he can make that would really help this team?
Well, people always talk about, you know, does this team know how to play from behind? Does it know how to play with the lead? I mean, you know, that goes with having a big lead or being behind by a lot, too. I mean, if you're not used to playing with a gigantic lead like that, it's hard to know what level of intensity and what plays you're supposed to run. And that goes for the coach, too. I mean, with this group of players, he's not really used to managing a blowout against a talented team. And I think that, you know, it's a learning experience for everybody involved. It's hard. People don't understand, you know, it's really hard to maintain a giant. You can't play at the level they played at in the first half for a whole game, probably. I mean, it's just, that was ridiculous. And it was incredible and awesome and, you know, fun to watch. But, you know, the likelihood of that keeping up for 40 minutes is incredibly low. So I think that it's just a case of, you know, Minnesota is a very talented, very good team, and they're very well coached. They were going to get back in that game, at least to some degree. I don't know if it needed to be under 10 points, but they were going to, you know, make a run at some point. The key is managing that run, figuring out how to, you know, get around it, making adjustments to make things work. And IU didn't do a great job of that tonight or today. And in the future, yeah, there's a lot to learn. And I also think that, you know, Crean, you know, he had a lot of experience before he got to IU, but he's still learning as a coach. And I think that as a coach with every group of players, it's kind of like a new experience. I mean, he's not doing the same things he did with Dwayne Wade that he's doing with these guys. And so it's about everybody figuring out their strengths and figuring out what to do in certain situations. And I think it's something that will get ironed out. But, yeah, the collapse today has got to be hung a little bit on everybody, the players, the coaches, everything. I mean, you know, missing as many free throws as we did down the stretch will definitely let another team get back into a game.
And, Andy, you know, I mean, when you look at kind of how the team has come out the last couple of second halves, you know, missing free throws at home in a game when you're up big like Indiana did today, how much does that, you know, does that concern you? I mean, is that something that, you know, that is eventually going to kind of bite this team in the rear end, you know, when the schedule toughens up even more come February? And where, you know, and I know obviously we're not in the locker room at halftime, so we don't know, you know, what's going on in there. We can't really say like, oh, this should be done differently, that should be done differently. But, you know, I guess, you know, how big are, how much does it concern you? And, you know, what would you like to see happen here over the next couple games in that regard?
Yeah, I don't, you know, the hard part is for me that a lot of it I think has been dictated by the margin, at least in these last couple, which are obviously the one freshest in everybody's mind. I mean, I don't think we really saw that against Iowa, and I think that had a lot to do with the fact that the game was closer. I think, unfortunately, it's human nature when you're dealing with, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids that you go into the halftime on a high up 23, it's a little bit hard to get that same focus, and that doesn't mean that that isn't something that they should strive for. But it really has been carelessness for the most part. I don't think it's been, you know, trying to even force the action that as much as it just has, I don't know, just not taking care of the ball. I mean, I thought some of Remy's turnovers were just carelessness. The one where he steps over the baseline again. I mean, that's, you know, I think it's focus related. And again, I think it's something to work on, but I don't know that we've seen that kind of thing as much in games that were a little bit, you know, closer at the half. So that plays a little bit of a factor, and I don't mean to minimize it because it certainly, you know, had me pretty stressed toward the end of the game. But and the free throw wise, I mean, it's one of those things where I think it kind of becomes a snowball effect. You miss a few, and kind of gets in everybody's heads. I think if somebody told me before the season that Holes would miss three straight free throws at some point, I would say they were crazy. So I think, you know, that is a little bit of an anomaly, and not as much of a concern. I think you get to the line enough. This team has gotten to the line an awful lot, and they've, you know, shot 70-some percent on the season. So there's enough of a sample size there to say this team isn't a terrible free throw shooting team. I think they're just, you know, certainly something they'll work on. So not a huge deal. I think if you start to see it in games where it's a little bit tighter, then maybe you start to question some of the, you know, halftime adjustments and things like that. But, you know, I also would give a lot of credit to Minnesota about that. I mean, they're a really tough team and came out very much more aggressive in the second half. I think, you know, took advantage of the fact that they probably figured out you might come out a little flat. So I think they did a good job early of getting back into the game. And I thought through, you know, timeouts and different things, IU was able to stem the tide a little bit because the lead really hovered in the, you know, 13 to 17 point range for, you know, probably the middle, you know, 12 minutes of the half, let's say, and then kind of got a little bit closer there at the end.
Well, Andy, I want to look ahead a little bit to the Wisconsin game that's going to be coming up and get your thoughts on that. Ryan, I know you have to go soon, so I want to get your final thought here before we do that. Maybe I can lead you into it a little bit. You know, Indiana now, you know, has won two road games. They've won a home game against a top 10 team to be 3-0 to start out this Big Ten season. As we've talked about on previous shows, you know, the rest of the schedule in January isn't particularly imposing. We've got Wisconsin at home, at Northwestern, home against Penn State and Michigan State, and then at Purdue. You know, and that all leads us into the epic battle February 2nd against Michigan, which by that point could very possibly be the number one against number two team in the country, especially with Duke losing today. So, Ryan, feel free to take this any way you want as you give us your final thought. But as I look at these next five games, to me, seeing what this team has done now on the road in winnable games, you know, against teams similar to Purdue and Northwestern, and then beating a top 10 team at home, I think it's fair to say that we should be disappointed now if Indiana's not 8-0 heading into that game against Michigan. You know, do you agree with that statement, and what are you expecting from this team here the rest of January leading up into that battle?
Totally agree. I think that we should be 8-0 heading into that game, and I think that, you know, IU has done what it had, you know, the team has done what it had to do, and regardless of whether or not it was pretty each time, they're, you know, the Hoosiers are 3-0 in the Big Ten. You know, they've been very convincing in through most of those games and had some, you know, ups and downs, but you know, ended up on top in each of them. So I just think we should be happy with where the team's at and hopefully can find some ways to get better after this one today.
Agreed. All right, thanks, Ryan. I know you got to get to some other duties, so we will bid you adieu. We'll talk to you after the Wisconsin game coming up this week. And, Andy, let's turn our attention to Wisconsin here a little bit before we sign off. You know, what is this team? I feel like I have less of a feel for this Wisconsin team than I have in previous years. I mean, obviously they're a Bo Ryan team, you know, so you know what to expect from them, you know, but they lost the guard early this season. They've got some new faces. You know, they don't have Jordan Taylor anymore. But yet, I don't think they've lost a Big Ten game yet. I know they're playing right now. You know, what is this team? What should we expect coming to the Hall on Tuesday night?
Well, yeah, I mean, the loss of Josh Gasser before the season was pretty big because they really didn't have a ready replacement to run the show. And you were already looking at a pretty good drop-off with Jordan Taylor leaving. In terms of what they've done so far in the Big Ten, they beat Penn State at home by 9 and they won at Nebraska by 6. They're blowing the doors off of Illinois right now. It's 31-7 with 4.5 minutes left in the first half. So I'm not sure. I think a lot of that probably has to do with Illinois as much as it does with Wisconsin with that wide of a margin. But even with, you know, some of the younger guys running the point, you know, they still have the best turnover rate in the country, so they're not going to, you know, beat themselves in that regard. They still don't get to the line a lot. And they've got a lot of front court players, which I think will be a good challenge for IU. They've got Jared Berger inside, who I think will be a difficult matchup for Zeller. He's a big guy that can kind of throw his weight around in there. Bruce Witts is still there. Ryan Evans is still there. Those guys both, I feel like, have been there for about 6 to 8 years. They got a really good freshman, Sam Decker. And then they have Ben Brust can shoot threes pretty well. But I think that's kind of the exception rather than the rule for them so far. So they really have struggled a lot more on the offensive end than they have in recent years, I think just because they don't have a lot of backcourt depth and scoring. So I think that's been, you know, one issue for them. They still have good, you know, defensive numbers if you look at them from an efficiency standpoint. I think traditionally the knock on them has been they just obliterate some of these teams that they play in the non-conference, that some of those are a little bit overstated. But they're still a solid team. I think the biggest change for them is, you know, scoring, I think, is going to be a little bit of an issue. But they're certainly going to use a Butler-esque game plan against IU to really try to make it a grinder and a little bit more of a physical game. So I think that's something that, you know, obviously IU's going to want to, you know, keep an eye on and try to, you know, push the tempo a little bit to get them playing out of their comfort zone.
But they clearly don't pose the challenges that Minnesota does in terms of athleticism and overall talent. I mean, this is a game that, you know, unless there's some kind of hangover for Indiana, they just don't come out to play. This is a game Indiana should win by 15, 20 points at home, isn't it? Or maybe not that many because it's a Bo Ryan team, but this is a game that shouldn't necessarily be in doubt at the end. I mean, we should put it away relatively easily, yes?
Probably not quite that margin, I think, because if Wisconsin plays the game at the pace they want to, you're probably not going to be able to, you know, build up that much of a margin. But, I mean, it is a game that IU should win, I think, because you know, it's a pretty, you know, severe talent discrepancy, you know, there. And Wisconsin really just doesn't have that, you know, go-to guy that they've had, you know, with the Taylor these last few years and, you know, some of the other players that they've had over the course of Ryan's tenure there. So it definitely is a game that IU should win at home, simply because Wisconsin just hasn't been all that impressive so far this year in some of the games they've played, particularly, they've only played a couple true road games, so I think that's that'll certainly be a factor. They've actually only played three, and they've lost two of them. They lost at Florida, at Marquette, and then, as I said, you know, beat Nebraska by just 6. So definitely a game it feels like IU should win by double digits, but I think it's, while they don't present the same challenge at Minnesota, they present a bit more of a unique challenge, I guess, where based on the way they play and the fact that they're going to try to slow things down. So I think it'll still be a good contest, but again, one, I think based on what we've seen from IU that you'd expect them to win and all that. But obviously Wisconsin's a team IU struggled with over the course of time for as long as I can remember since Ryan's been there. So won't be easy, but one they should win.
Well, before we get to final thoughts, let me put you on the spot just a little bit. You obviously watch tons of college basketball, and my college basketball experience is very IU-centric, so I very rarely watch other games. So I don't know much about the other teams and trying to compare Indiana and kind of how we, you know, stack up against some of the other teams. But give me your assessment. As we look at the top of the country, obviously Duke and Michigan and Louisville, you know, these teams are kind of all up there. Indiana is in that mix. You know, Duke lost today. You know, who's kind of your, I guess, top four? You know, if we look at who are the top seeds, and don't necessarily, you know, think about this in terms of who has the best resume right now, but, you know, if you're seeing just who you think are the four best basketball teams in the country, you know, who do you think they are? Is Indiana in there, and how do they kind of stack up in that group?
I mean, I definitely think IU's in there. I think if for no other reason than, you know, we've seen this team, you know, really excel offensively, even against strong defensive teams. I mean, Minnesota came into the game, you know, 14th, I think, in, you know, adjusted defensive efficiency on Pomeroy. So they're not a slouch defensively. I think you've seen IU be able to score with pretty much anybody. And I think, you know, obviously the second half today was not great. But for the first half, they really, I mean, Minnesota was, you know, right there around the top 10 on the offensive side. And I thought IU really held them in check in the first half. And obviously, you know, let them get some threes in the second. But overall, felt like they fared well against them. I think Michigan is certainly there. I've been incredibly impressed with them. I'm not sure there's, for as impressive as IU is on the offensive end, I think Michigan could give them a run for their money in terms of who's really the best or most efficient or whatever measure you want to use. They're really fun to watch offensively and can score in a lot of different ways. I think they've been better defensively maybe than people thought, but in some ways they're a little bit like IU of last year in that they're so strong offensively that they were able to get by with a, you know, not mediocre defense, but just not as good. So I think they're probably, you know, I guess it's easy to say that because they're undefeated, but, you know, I'd probably put them at number one. I think they've really been start to finish really impressive, and I'm curious to see them start to play some of the better teams in the Big Ten. You know, I think Duke's in there. Obviously, today they lose to North Carolina State. That was without Ryan Kelly, who's, you know, one of their top players, and on the road in an NC State team that, you know, was ranked pretty highly to start the season. I'd argue in some ways they haven't maybe played up to that, but, you know, I think they've certainly played well. I think they're getting back to playing, you know, defense the way that they have, you know, for most of the last few years, you know, kind of last season notwithstanding. I think they've been really good. And then I guess if I was looking at a fourth, I think you'd have to go with Louisville. I think definitely defensively they're probably the best defensive team in the country. And, you know, their only loss came to Duke without, you know, Gorgie Dieng, who's one of their best players. So, and I think really the Big East, while there's a couple tough games that Louisville has, I mean, they're going to rack up quite a few wins there. So their big challenge is how well they can score and make shots. But I think they're, you know, again, have some of the depth that is pretty consistent when you look at, you know, at least three of the teams. Michigan plays a lot of guys. IU, you know, again, best performance wasn't great today, but got some minutes from those guys. So I guess those would be my top four. I think IU's probably not as – they're probably – maybe third out of that group defensively and first or second on the offensive side. So I think they stack up fairly well, and certainly if you pick matchups with any of those teams, there's probably things you'd like for IU and maybe some things that you wouldn't.
Well, no, that's very encouraging to hear. All right, well, let's go with some final thoughts. Indiana wins today against Minnesota, 88-81. Andy, I guess, you know, we can kind of bring it back to today's game, and maybe if there's a couple things that Hoosier fans can take from this game as we move forward, you know, kind of point those out and just give us your final thoughts overall.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what I take away, although it seemed like by the end of the game, it seemed like a really long time ago was how well they played in the first half. I think the pattern of coming out flat in some of these, the first half seems to be, you know, behind IU. Maybe the second half is now the new first half, apparently. But I thought that, you know, it was definitely a game where they came out and just showed how tough it's going to beat this team at home. You know, Assembly Hall, the crowd was obviously ecstatic and loud and, you know, impacted the game in that regard. And, you know, I felt like that helped force Minnesota in some of the turnovers. You just kind of get that momentum. You feel the crowd turning against you. I felt that Minnesota at times, you know, really tried to force some plays, and that led to some of the turnovers. I think the other thing that led to those turnovers was some solid IU defense. And I think that's the thing that I continue to take away from these games is that, and I wrote it in the preview, it was kind of a chance to put up or shut up for the defense. And I think for the first half they did that. Again, second half, I think you can point to some different factors and certainly have some things to work on. But I thought that, you know, they certainly showed that, you know, for a long stretch of time, they could hold their own defensively with a talented offensive team that had a lot of different, you know, options that they could beat. Yeah, I mean, even the lowest scoring of the Minnesota players, well, maybe he wasn't the lowest, but one of the lowest scoring starters they had, Joe Coleman, had 28 against Illinois the other night. So he had 11 tonight, and IU really, you know, held most of those guys in check. Obviously, Holland's the exception, but it took him 20 shots to get 25 points. So even that was good. So I think I continue to be impressed with the defense. I think that's what's going to end up being the difference for this team going forward. And obviously, you want to see some differences late in the game. And I think in any case, maybe we've mentioned this a few times last year, where it's great to go out and dominate people. You don't want to also feel like you're getting too full of yourself and things like that. I think some of the comments that we've seen tweeted out from the post game would indicate these guys know they have to get better at the end of the game and, you know, make better decisions in terms of where they're passing the ball, who they're passing it to, what they're doing defensively. And, you know, again, somewhat part of a learning process. And on a veteran team, you know, maybe that's not ideal. But, you know, this team, you know, has to learn different ways to win some of these games still. And I thought that, you know, found ways to win tonight and kind of hung on to a certain extent and are going to learn that they need to keep the pedal down instead of trying to figure out at what point in the game you can kind of take your foot off the gas and hold on and hope not to lose, which I think happened a couple times today. So overall, I think a really positive performance. I think you had a number of different guys make plays. And again, you know, the couple that stood out to me were really Yogi and Watford. And, you know, one of the commenters in the chat said, you know, they felt Watford was the weak link. And again, there's somebody who I think everybody who listens to this with any regularity knows I haven't always been the easiest on him and have been pretty quick to criticize him. I think that was anything but true today. And I thought, you know, again, he was the difference in the game today. He doesn't go out and grab 9 rebounds. I'm not sure IU is able to hold on and win this game. And so I thought he played really well, and obviously Yogi as well. So I think a lot of positives, but stuff to work on at the same time. So looking forward to another big 10 game Tuesday night and hopefully get off to a good 4-0 start.
Yep, agreed. And, you know, there's no reason. Second half was a little bit of a letdown. There's no reason for IU fans today to be anything but excited. I mean, you're 3-0. You know, you just beat a top 10 team, you know, and played for the first 20 minutes as good as you can possibly play. And that's good to see. You know, you're not always going to be able to play for 40 minutes at your optimal level. So IU was due to have a little bit of a letdown in the second half. But, man, was that first half impressive. And, you know, and my final thought is really I'm really getting more and more excited with every game to see the difference that Yogi Ferrell is going to make for this team once, you know, once the schedule really toughens in February. Because, you know, you take Yogi Ferrell off the team, I don't have a whole lot of confidence that we're competing against Michigan and Trey Burke very well. But with Yogi, you know, being able to defend, being able to get into the lane like he can, you know, it seems like he brings that element, and when we knew he was going to do this, but he brings that element this team was missing, you know, last year. And that's why I really feel confident no matter who we're playing against. And, you know, to see him start shooting it a little bit better, more confidently, going into the lane, you know, being able to finish as a freshman, you know, with strength down low, you know, when he makes those drives, it's great to see, and his defense. And so I think, you know, to me, my final thought as we walk away from this, I mean, Victor was spectacular again and is, you know, deserving of being, you know, discussed now as a Wooden Award candidate. I thought Cody was great. Christian was a great difference maker. Jordan was solid. You know, but I thought to me as I walk away from this, you know, just what Yogi was able to do and the growth that he seems to be making from game to game, especially now as the competition has picked up in the Big Ten season, is really impressive. And I think it bodes really well for this team as we move forward. And moving forward for this team will be next Tuesday against Wisconsin. That is a 9:00 Eastern time start. Andy, is that game on ESPN?
I believe it is. It's not on the Big Ten Network. I'm fairly sure it's ESPN.
Yeah, so that's an ESPN game, and so we will be here. Obviously, it will be a later show that night. We'll be here right after it ends, but we'll be here to talk about it. Hopefully, it's another IU victory where the Hoosiers will move to 4-0. But today, the Hoosiers moved to 3-0, beating Minnesota 88-81. We appreciate everybody who listened in. We will get this posted on the site, and then we will join you again on Tuesday after Indiana-Wisconsin. With that said, everybody have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon.